From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. Is it hot in here? I blame global warming. I'm Bill Curtis, and here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us. We have a wonderful show for you today. Later on, we're going to be talking to the actor Lance Reddick. He played Lieutenant Daniels on The Wire. He's once again starring in the latest John Wick movie. But first, some history was made this week in broadcasting. The two greatest interviewers of the past two decades, Terry Gross and Howard Stern, had a two-part conversation on Fresh Air, and it was so astonishing to hear someone synonymous with the decline of civil discourse, obsessed with porn and sex, talking to Howard Stern. I'm just saying, if you only knew, man. We don't want to know if you made it with your co-star. We just want you to play our games. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, this is Richie Huntington from Dallas, Pennsylvania.
All right, you're from Dallas, Pennsylvania. I don't know where that is. I'm sure that you enjoy explaining to people it's not that Dallas, but where is it?
It is near Scranton and Wilkes-Barre, Northeast PA.
Northeast PA. And what do you do there?
I'm a family practice doctor.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good work. And how long have you been doing that?
20 years.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, Richard. It is great to have you with us. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, the co-host of the podcast, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. It's Mr. Adam Felber.
Hi, Dr. Richie.
Next, a comedian will be performing at the Comedy Underground in Seattle, Washington, May 30th through June 1st. And she's the host of the trivia podcast, Go Fact Yourself, on the Maximum Fun Network. It's Helen Hall.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Richie.
And a humorist and author, most recently of Save Room for Pie, it's Roy Blunt Jr.
Hello, Doctor.
So welcome to the show, Richard. You're going to play Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis right now, of course, is going to read for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, of course, correctly identify, diagnose, 2 out of 3. Do that and you'll win any voice from our show you might like on your voicemail. You ready to play?
I am.
All right. Here is your first quote.
Mules, camels, bleached beeswax, traveling circuses, sewage sludge.
Those are just some of the thousands of things that will be much more expensive because of the U.S. trade war with whom?
China.
Yes. That's right. The tariffs our president has imposed are going to make even camels more expensive. Sorry, kids, you might only be getting a one humper for Christmas this year. So yes, this week the president announced new tariffs on things that come from China on top of the others. These new ones include technological components, baseball caps, handbags, boats, bicycles, even cereal. So sorry, your Chinese breakfast cereal is now going to be 25% more expensive. No more asbestos or
Leto's.
Or raisin lead.
Wait.
How about those things where you stick your fingers in, you know?
No, no,
you can't get them out.
You can't afford them.
We buy sewage sludge from China?
Yeah, yeah. Really good
Are
at packaging.
Are you serious?
You would be amazed at the things.
We can't even make our own sewage sludge.
No, isn't it terrible that the American workers can't make sewage sludge with the efficiency and price that the Chinese, you know, half of what we get paid here. It's just,
you can't get an American worker to poop that much.
It's true.
Wait, I want to know what kind of cereal we get from China. Is like my cornflakes is made in China?
Well, I'd imagine Panda Puffs.
My favorite Chinese cereal is Comrade Crunch.
Mine's Count Chinocula.
I think we didn't get our shipment of Chinese jokes this week.
No, apparently not.
We had to make up our own.
Yeah, it's time.
It shows.
Oh, if we had just had the Chinese jokes, there'd be so many more, and they'd be so much better and cheaper. All right, Dr. Richard, here is your next quote.
It's basically like naming your child Joseph Stalin.
That was someone on Twitter making fun of the hundreds of people who had named their child after a character in a popular TV show
who after the last episode probably now regret that. What is the show?
Game of Thrones?
Yes, Doctor, it's Game of Thrones. If you don't watch or care about Game of Thrones, I'm sorry to make your life more miserable than it already is, but for years now, fans of the show have been rooting for a certain character called Khaleesi, who everybody thought was this young, attractive hero who would beat the bad guys and win in the end. Elizabeth Warren herself endorsed her, saying her rise to the Iron Throne was a lesson for girls everywhere. As it turned out, the lesson, young girls, is that if you want to succeed, kill everyone. Elizabeth Warren, by the way, is legitimately 1/16th Dothraki. So, all right, so as you may or may not know, and I'm sure many of you who don't care are vastly annoyed by this, all the Game of Thrones fans all week have been like in a frenzy of rage, arguing with each other over whether that was a good thing or a bad thing or a justified thing. But it's a real problem, though, for the hundreds of people who over the last 8 or 9 years have named their baby daughters Khaleesi or Daenerys or other name after this character. Mm-hmm. And the kids are now like, seriously, Mama, why did you name me for a character who turned out to be a ruthless mass murderer? And did you ignore the obvious signs that this is where she was heading in all the prior seasons, including the dream sequence in season 2?
Absolutely.
At the House of the Undying? I mean, it was all there the whole time, Mama!
I think there's a solution here, Peter.
What?
Which is
Helen?
That they can change the middle name to Before Season 8.
Yes.
So it's like my name is Khaleesi Before Season 8
Berkowitz.
Yes.
It's just, I mean, first of all, it's just a bad idea to name your kid after a character in a TV series if you don't know how it's going to turn out. Imagine how the people feel who name their kids after Aunt Becky on Full House.
It's just never a good idea at all.
No,
just
it's never a good idea.
Just ask my cousin Cosby.
All right, here is your last quote.
Puck the ka in Havad Yad.
That was Bill imitating the accent we are now told is, believe it or not, considered to be one of the sexiest in America. What is the accent?
That is the Boston or New England accent.
You're exactly right. The Boston accent.
Wow.
It's sexy, everybody. It's time to park the carnal in the Harvard Yard.
The carnal.
The carnal. We've all been there. We all know what it's like. You're watching The Departed or Good Will Hunting.
Departed.
Departed. We're never going to get through this, are we?
Sorry.
It's
sorry.
All right. You've been there. You're watching The Departed or Good Will Hunting, or you're getting beaten up by a bunch of drunk Bruins fans. And you have this funny feeling in your tummy because, you know, it's the Boston accent, and it is apparently, according to a survey of social media users, the second sexiest accent in the country after the Texas accent. No, this is true. This is why so many lonely men are ordering mail-order brides from Worcester.
Okay, when they say sexy, do they mean it makes you want to stick things in your ears?
We decided that we couldn't let this go unchallenged, so we decided that we needed to talk, well, really to the only person we knew who could really let us know how the Boston accent at least has worked out for him. Ladies and gentlemen, please say hello to Ray Maliazzi of Car Talk. Hey, Ray. Ray, how are you?
I'm very well. You folks are having a lot of fun making fun of my peeps.
Yeah, we are. We do it all the time. Usually we don't let you listen. So the question for you, Ray, is have you in your life of having a Boston accent, have you found it to be very sexy? Has it had that effect on the people you'd want it to have that effect on?
Well, first of all, wait a minute. I don't have a Boston accent.
You don't?
No, I mean, I can fake one for you. But I dedicated years to losing my Boston accent because I thought it sounded bad. I listened to all these people on NPR who sounded so erudite. And here we were, because that was hopeless with my brother.
Yeah.
But you know, for years, I tried to cultivate a Midwestern accent. And
mission accomplished.
Yeah, I know.
I
so, So as a kind of test, Ray, we have decided that we've asked you to read a couple of romantic lines from movies.
I can tell I'm not going to like this, but
go ahead. All right, here we go. Ready? So we're just going to start with this one. How about this? The heart knows what the heart wants.
Oh, so you want me to say...
I do.
The heart knows what the heart wants.
That's good. All right. Oh, it's getting hot in here.
Helen is flushed.
All right. How about this one? Draw me like one of your French girls, Jack.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Draw me like one of your French girls. That's good.
That's okay. Good. Last one. Ready?
Here we go.
My tastes are very singular.
Oh, my tastes are very singular.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that was? Hold on. Smoldering. You know what that was? That was 50 Shades of Ray. Ray Maliazzi, everybody, from Paratalk. Great to talk to you, Ray.
See you later.
Bye-bye. All right, Richard, are you still there?
I am.
All right. Bill, how did Richard do in our quiz?
Richard did very, very well. He got them all right.
Congratulations, Doctor.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Well done. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for playing, and take care.
I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you about my town.
Coming up, a Bluff the Listener game with military precision. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.